Okay, we are plugged in and we're ready to rumble. And it's Thursday, the 11th of October, 2018, here in Sydney, Australia. So welcome to all the listeners, wherever you are and around the world. I hope you are fine. And look, as usual, everything goes up on my website, crazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. crazfiles.com, so just head over there. It's all up there. And if, the podcast is also available over at iTunes. And but everything's connected to the website now. That's how I wanted it. So please check it out. And you can send me a direct email as well through the website. Lots going up, lots to talk about, lots to do. It never ends. I feel like my brain's going to explode sometimes because I actually, you know, I'm so busy in the day doing what I have to do just to survive, you know, and being a dad and working and you know, paying your bills and your taxes and making sure the lights are on and running everything. And, you know, there's just so much to do as a human being. And then doing all of this sort of stuff, social media and websites and podcasts and everything and uploading and checking all this and doing all that. It's a lot, but, you know, it's enjoyable, but, no one's, I mean, doing more than Alone Alan, and, good to connect with you again. You are, out on the ground, bare knuckles out there, going round and around and around. So I finally snagged you. I've thrown out the line and I've, snagged you, and I've got you tonight for a quick roundup and a chat. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Adam. And sorry to have delayed you so much, because we've actually been playing tag for about 2 weeks now. So busy. Thanks for being patient. Yeah. I've been really on the ground doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes. So I have been a little bit quiet and very busy in the last few weeks. So that's why. So thanks for your patience.
As I was just saying, there's so much happening because genuinely, what would I say? Being in Sydney here, so, you know, I'm pretty much cooked from 6 in the morning till 7 at night, as I was telling you, and then I kind of sit down to do all this stuff, which is another part of your life.
Yeah.
That you do.
And very important. It is.
It's very important, yeah. And you know, it's the most important thing because my view is that, you know, once I, with my wife, brought a child into this earth realm, you know, we brought a child here together. That child now becomes the most important thing in this world, and protecting this child is the most important thing in my life. And I have now for 3 years, I've protected this little human being, and it's honestly the most amazing thing I've ever done, and it's the, you know, something I can be so proud of, because I've protected her from evil. That's what it is. I've protected her from this evil that is everywhere. Everywhere I look, it's there, and I try not to let it get me down, but it's all around me. Everywhere I look, it's there. It's like this slow motion, or this slow avalanche, you know, this avalanche you're watching in slow motion, just sucking us all in. And it can become very hard doing this, as you know. It can become very hard and eat into your daily life, where you're trying to do something and you know, you might be on Facebook, or I'm trying to upload something. And when I sit down at night, there's just so much information coming in from here and overseas, and what you're doing and with the billboards, and we'll try and cover some tonight. That I just can't put it all up, and I can't answer to it all. So I just have to sort of go through it and do bits and pieces and what I think's important to get out there. And so everybody's doing that, and everybody's doing their bit in the health freedom movement in this country, and we have a great movement going. But you're like this as well, very sporadic. You're at home, you're in Perth, you're up in North Queensland, you're all over the place, you're talking to politicians, you're on the news, you're on Facebook, you're everywhere at once, it seems to be. I go on your page and you're over in another part of the country and you're on the plane, and then I go on your page in the afternoon and you're back again, and then you're going to presentations of films, you're talking to important people, you're out there, as I said, with the gloves off, doing this work, and that must be incredibly draining with you, with a family as well, and everything that you've got to do just in your home life as a mum. You know, it's it can be. I don't know how you're doing it, but how do you feel about all this? Is it something that you find keeps you moving and keeps you busy, keeps the mind going?
Oh, Adam, look, when No Jab, No Pay was first introduced, I mean, I didn't sleep for 10 months. And so the motivation there was because I was so angry, I felt so isolated and alone. So that was the initial motivation. And then when I realized that things were getting much, much worse, that this is just the beginning of the erosion of our rights on many issues, not just vaccines. So it's kept me busy ever since. At that time with No Jab, No Pay and with the you know, financial penalties that they implemented, I then decided I've always had a business, so I've always ran businesses, I've always been a worker, and I've decided I'm not going to work because I'm not going to pay taxes. And so I'm very blessed in the sense my husband and I are in a position that he can work, so therefore this gives me the opportunity to pretty much work full-time as a freedom of choice advocate and to raise awareness on vaccines. So I'm really blessed in that. And so I've just dedicated hours and hours and time. And, yes, you are right. And what you don't know is that, yes, like I've just recently come back from Perth for an event over there, which I'll talk about a little bit later. It was really powerful. But behind the scenes here, every day, pretty much every day, I have a meeting, I have a gathering with unvaccinated. We do talks, and all of this isn't even on social media. And this is behind the scenes. Every day I'm bombarded by messages with people wanting advice and help, emails. I can't, I actually, it's become to a point now, even though I don't have a job, that I'm actually can't keep up with the help that people need and the information that they want. And, you know, I'm obviously not getting paid for my time, but the motivation is because I can see that the world needs change. We cannot sustain where we're heading. We're mass drugging our children in the womb to tomb now. We're poisoning our food, the planet, like everything. People need somebody to make change. So I guess I've taken that on board for me to do that. And I look around me and I think because of my drive and motivation, I've got a fair bit of wisdom. I've been very, very sick. I've been in the natural therapies. I've had a lot of different experiences. And I guess that gives me the wisdom, you know, that hopefully you can inspire and encourage others to speak up, step up, and do what needs to be done. But we need to collectively come together and stand up as a group, because it's going to be sheer numbers that make change and awareness. So yeah, I'm flat out busy, and like I just did a post today, and so what we have done up here on the Sunshine Coast, and we've just started food co-ops to buy food in bulk, so that people that are being financially bullied and punished can actually save money by buying in bulk. And we've got the education, we've got a natural learning co-ops. We've actually got quite a few here on the coast doing different things. We've got child co-op, swap exchanges. I mean, we you know, and I think this is what I'd love to see around the rest of Australia, because if the government are going to discriminate, intimidate, bully and segregate, well, then let's use that to our advantage, support each other in our businesses, in our community, in every way that we can. And, it's exciting, and it's probably the first time in my life, to be honest, and I've done many different things, have many different businesses, like tribes, people that I've associated with, that I actually feel I meet people that don't vaccinate, that are predominantly ex-vaxxers or don't vaccinate, and we're all like-minded. We all feel bullied, intimidated, segregated, and we are all the government have activated us into realizing that the life as we've been living is not the reality, and that we have been the government's corrupt, and that we have data has been omitted, and that the truth is not the truth. So once you are awakened to that, you can't go back. So that's what I'm loving about at the moment is all the people I'm meeting. I'm just shocked at the number of people that I meet that are like-minded with me, and I don't face-to-face, encourage any resistance. And in the end, everyone that I speak to agrees that we cannot sustain where we're heading and that we need dramatic change. And part of that is vaccination and the mass drugging of our children. So, yeah, So like you, Adam, you know, we're in there trying to juggle our families, you're trying to make it happen. And I do feel guilty because, you know, it's 7 o'clock here in Queensland right now and I should be up there, you know, spending time with my daughter. But this is important. This is for her future. She is my driving force and I want to leave something beautiful for her. I want to make sure that she's got the best life possible. And so that's the motivation behind this as well. So you sacrifice this to make sure in the future we've got this. So, and you do the same. And I know that that's how we think because it's really important. Somebody's got to do it. So we're it.
That's right. Yeah, as I said, you know, it's when you have children, as you know, it, you know, your life goes on hold, doesn't it? And it's all about making sure that they are brought up in the right way and that they're protected. And you got to do the best you can. But there's incoming doom in this country. There's this kind of ocean of uncertainty and you know, it's a real worry what's happening in this country, and people outside of this country listening to us may not understand how grassroots we really are here. We really don't have anything. We don't have any funding. We don't have really much help. We're just trying to connect with each other to stop in-your-face tyranny. This country is a medical dictatorship where the people just don't seem to have any rights anymore. And I already went over on the last podcast about how much influence the pharmaceutical industry has in this country and that they're donating millions of dollars to both our major political parties. And this is in-your-face mainstream media information coming out showing all these lobby groups and pharmaceutical businesses engaging face-to-face in this country with our, political parties, Liberal and Labor. So it just seems to be overwhelming, and we're just ordinary family people here trying to protect not only our way of life but the future for our children, because none of us want to live in a medical tyranny, a medical dictatorship. I'm telling you, we don't. So we're doing our best here on the ground with what we have to fight this off and to make a critical change, because we need it so much. And as I said before, it's really incredible what's happening. I'm actually feeling pretty positive, really, even though there's not much to be positive about. But, you know, I always say that, you know, people can call me whatever they want, anti-vaxxer or whatever name they want under the sun. Really, at the end of the day, for me, there's nothing more than protecting your health freedom and living in a country where you have the right to choose. You know, for you and your children, your family, what goes into your bodies, and say no to vaccines. And that's ultimately what we all want. But if we're looking at your work, if we start here and just sort of piece this together, if we're looking at your work and what you've been doing and going to Western Australia, we'll start there, showing these films, yeah. Sacrificial Virgins, which this is an incredible thing. And a lot of this stuff, I feel like it gets forgotten about. Now, is the lady's name Joan Shenton, yeah. Right? She was not you know, barred from coming into the country, but they made it so hard that she wasn't going to get her visa anyway. So you can tell us a bit about that. This is a fascinating lady who's a filmmaker, and she's made this film, Sacrificial Virgins, which you've been part of, and it's swinging around the country, and you went over Western Australia, and she didn't get to come in here, which, you know, I just sit here and shake my head when I see this stuff, that a filmmaker's not allowed in Australia to be part of this film, but she was anyway via Skype, I'm guessing. Tell us about your experiences with this film, showing very stark, in-your-face information in regards to vaccination damage and Gardasil. HPV vaccine, and it's just destroying the lives of young women in particular all over the world. And we have these outrageous, brainwashed, zombie-like politicians who are still getting up there every day pushing this Gardasil vaccine onto the public like lollies and telling everybody that it's safe and effective and there's really nothing else we need to do. It's all done. Just go and get it. It defies belief to me that they're not even stopping some of these politicians are not even stopping to at least watch a movie like this or at least be a little bit open-minded about this vaccine, which is incredibly dangerous. The proof is right there. They're not looking at it. They're just telling you to do it. But you're on the ground with this stuff. Tell me about the film and how it went and what you're seeing and also the reaction of people who went along to see it. Were there a lot of fence sitters or pro-vaxxers or just general family members going to see this film? What's going on here?
Okay, Sacrificial Virgins is a movie created by Joan Shenton, who is an ex-BBC journalist and investigative journalist from the UK, and she's won awards around the world for different mini documentaries that she's done. So she did it on the HPV vaccine because she was being contacted by young girls or their parents that have been severely injured by the HPV vaccine. And so she featured a few of the girls in the film and, of course, then got scientists from around the world. The mini documentary only goes for half an hour. It's divided up into three different segments. Very, very powerful. So I recommend that if people haven't seen it, it is actually readily available to watch on YouTube, and it is called Sacrificial Virgins. And essentially it was based on the fact that we're sacrificing our teenagers for a drug, essentially.
That's right, so, sacrificing.
Yeah, literally sacrificing. And these girls, you know, there was quite a few that featured in the film, but one of them, Kristen Clulow, was actually from Australia, and she actually came to the screening in Sydney. And what was really profound about her is she had the vaccine 10 years ago. It actually killed a portion of her brain. And so she has neurological damage and she has brain damage. And she sat there with us up you know, on the at question time, and I did a bit of an interview with her. And she has stroke-like symptoms, so talking, you can tell that, you know, she's got problems. She's got nerve kind of issues. And to sit right beside it and to see that, and then for her to say she's got medical proof, the doctors acknowledge that the vaccine killed a portion of her brain. Now, you can't step back from that. You've seen that. You've experienced that. You've seen, you know, she's teared up as I'm talking to her. I've met her family. I've met her partner. They're all absolutely devastated. They've had her whole life has been ripped upside down and changed. It's cost the Australian government thousands, tens of, like, probably a couple of $100,000 to try and fix the problem that they created in the first place. Now, look, she was 26. She did consent to the vaccine, as people do before vaccination, but they're not fully informed. And so what actually came out of the whole series for the documentary for me is that the HPV vaccine, out of all the vaccines, is one of the worst in the sense it was fast-tracked. So proper studies weren't done on the vaccine. They're claiming that it actually prevents cancer, and there's actually no solid links that HPV even causes cervical cancer. So there's even questions around the authenticity of whether HPV actually causes cervical cancer. And so we had Peter Duesberg from Berkeley University. He's an expert in microbiology. He came on and he just said, you know, there are what they call fossils in women that have cervical cancer and HPV, but they're fossils. They're like dead. They're not active. Yeah, that's not an active disease or virus. Like, it's just, it's nothing, so it's a fossil. So there was all these questions that came up about the HPV vaccine. And then, of course, you've got the 225 micromilligrams of aluminium mixed in with the actual disease, and now you've got Gardasil 9, and it's actually got 500 micromilligrams of aluminium, so they've doubled it. The HPV vaccine has one of the highest rates of adverse reactions, disabilities attached to it, and yet here we are actually rolling it out now to boys. So the UK have actually, the United Kingdom have just rolled it out to boys now. So Australia rolled it out to boys in 2011. The vaccine was introduced into Australia in 2007. So we've had 10 years. And out of that, I think from memory, there was about 2,500 adverse events. And some of those really quite serious. So, and, you know, Kristen having sat with her beside me with her brain, you know, with the brain injury. And then throughout the events, we were asking people in the audience who here had had the HPV vaccine, who here believes that they had an adverse reaction, who here believes they had a serious adverse reaction. And what I was finding was, you know, you were getting like 100% raising hands for each question that we were asking. So that was really profound. At one, we had seven girls that had had the HPV vaccine. Out of that, four said, I put their hand up to say that they'd had serious adverse reactions, as in they got autoimmune issues directly after the vaccine. Their whole life had changed. They were no longer to be able to be active and sporty. Their whole lives, most couldn't go to school. They had to do schooling from home. They had to find out alternative resources. And one of the mothers that spoke in Mullumbimby, actually in the screening at Northern Rivers, is a nurse or an ex-nurse and midwife. And her daughter, you know, the story of her daughter is, and this is what we don't hear about because the media won't report it, the government won't acknowledge it, but that these incidences after vaccination aren't even being reported. They're not even being recorded as adverse reactions. So we could have, you know, hundreds, thousands of girls out there that are all of a sudden in their teenage years and are having autoimmune issues and are not physically, they have chronic fatigue-like symptoms, neurological problems, and it's not even being acknowledged. So about Perth, because we did seven events over here on the East Coast. So we did Sunshine Coast, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Northern Rivers, two in Sydney and Melbourne. And Perth wasn't on as part of that tour, and they decided to do one themselves over there, so they invited me over. So I flew over there off my own bat, so I actually paid for that myself. I thought it was really important that I go over, and I knew I could do a good job at the event because I knew what questions to ask, the issues that people would want to know and all that sort of stuff. That the Perth event was, I think, the most powerful out of all the events. The reason it was the most powerful was we did a slightly different format, but we had Dr. Deidre Little from Balingen here in Australia come on Skype and talk. Now, what's profound about Dr. Deidre Little is that she has reported seven cases of premature ovarian insufficiency from teenage girls. Now, in the TGA reporting system, she's reported that, she's done it all correctly, she went through everything, and so she's done it properly. And what she's amazed at is she's the only person in Australia, only doctor in Australia that has done those reports to the TGA. She's one doctor in one clinic, and she's reported all seven premature ovarian insufficiencies, menopause, like menopausal type symptoms. And so these women, these girls potentially won't be able to have children because they're going through menopause at the age of 16, 17. And so her question was, how can she be the only doctor in Australia that's reported this? Why aren't other doctors reporting it? Are they looking for those symptoms? Are they even aware? Now, she is very concerned about the fact that the HPV vaccine was fast-tracked. And then when she went to find the studies, What she found is that the studies are insufficient and they're inconclusive, as in the studies have never tested the effect of, well, there's a couple of different issues within it, but one of them, she was saying, is polysorbate 80 in the HPV vaccine has never been tested for ovarian insufficiency or the effect on ovarian, on human ovarians, ovaries. So that, and there's been my studies and all sorts of studies saying that it's bad and it's toxic. So we're still putting that in that vaccine and it could be creating problems, but there's been no studies. But what they did do, there has been studies done on males' testes. So if you can do it on males' testes, why can't we do it on human ovaries? And then she was saying that the studies, she actually said, and what I am going to do after this, which I haven't done, is share that Skype interview with her because it was just so powerful. And she said, as a medical provider, she wants the truth. And the sad part about this particular vaccine, and she claims to be pro-vaccine, is that the government have lied. They omitted data and they purposely lied with the HPV vaccine. So that is her gripe. So she has lobbied the government. She's written to the government. They're not listening to her. She's even suggested that the Australian government spend $5 million on studies on human ovaries, and that's what she's estimated it will cost. So it's not a lot of money for the Australian government. She said, and they're not, they ignore her. And what they do is send back studies proper studies that have no that aren't credibly linked, or they have flaws in them. And so she's shocked. Yeah, she's shocked. And look, she's a mother of three with three teenage girls, and she's not using that vaccine. So for me, it was really interesting that I did the seven events. I've got other stories from all the events because we had so many powerful moments. One of those was that on the Gold Coast, that several schools had the parents hadn't consented to the HPV vaccine, and yet all the students were vaccinated without parental consent. And there are I'm hearing these kinds of stories all the time. So the fully informed consent isn't there, and yet for some reason they're getting away with it. No, like just randomly vaccinating whoever. And the other thing that I'm hearing all the time as well is that the teenage girls, unfortunately, because of peer pressure, are getting the HPV vaccine because all of their friends are, and of course then they are getting sick, you know, and having adverse reactions. And so it's the peer pressure attached with the HPV vaccine, which is a problem as well. But the beauty of this particular vaccine is that at least teenagers are able to tell their parents when they're not feeling well, you know, when they're having an adverse reaction, unlike babies. I mean, babies, you know, they just scream all night and the parents think they're unsettled and the babies can't tell them they've got inflammation in their brain. So at least with teenagers, you know, they can speak, which on some level is a blessing, although at the same time it's evil and it's heartbreaking to hear all these stories. The other thing is a lot of these, you know, girls now sort of in their late teens, they actually won't speak about their injuries even though they know, because, again, they're scared of the segregation, the bullying that may be attached to them speaking out about vaccination or even just sharing their story. So the heartbreaking thing about this, all these girls are getting damaged, and we've just got this multi-layered issue here, and that they won't speak. So how are we going to protect all the other teenagers if people won't speak about their vaccine injury? And then that rolls into, you know, we're coming up into Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, and I'm just saying to people, share your stories, you know, that it's a fact, it's a truth. And just because you don't have medical proof, which, you know, to have the medical proof, it's got to be within 28 days of having the vaccine. And then even then, most doctors will deny. And this is the other thing that I've heard is when these teenagers are going back to that original doctor that vaccinated, they're in denial. they're saying, oh, no, 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 you've got a psychological problem or it's all in your head or and there's no diagnosis. So you've just got these layer upon layer upon layer of issue, and for some reason everyone's ignoring it, and I don't understand how it can be so ignored. So the tour for me compounded, if I wasn't against mass vaccination if I wasn't anti-vax, I would have been after this tour, because when you're sitting beside people and their lives are being devastated because of this vaccine, there's no denying that. And, look, I do have another really special story, and I hope my family member is okay with this. She came to the screen. She's fully vaccinated. She had the HPV vaccine. And I remember talking to her when she was in year 10 and she was having fainting spells and abdominal bloating, severe pain and all these sorts of issues. Mm. Now, I knew that she had – it was because of the HPV vaccine. Fainting. So she came along to the screening, and I'm really proud of her for doing that because, you know, she stepped outside of her comfort zone. And so she's sitting there in the audience and she got to hear all the different stories. And in Melbourne we actually had about 7 HPV vaccine-injured mothers there, which was extremely powerful, and several of them spoke. And again, heartbreaking. You know, you can't imagine how their lives are destroyed. It's not just destroying the child's life; it destroys the whole family. The whole family is in upheaval. They lose money, they lose time. I mean, they're worried about, you know, their daughter's health. But getting back to my family member, and so afterwards, she came and stayed with me for the night, and we had an investigative journalist come with us on the tour. And so he came back to the room and he was talking with her and he said, oh, you know, what did you think? And she said, I'm HPV vaccine damaged. And I sat there, I didn't say a thing. And he said, well, why is that? And what she started telling even more of a story, and she said, oh, yeah, in year 10, I had a whole week she couldn't go to school. She would get up and faint. She actually couldn't walk. And she said one of her school friends had a brain tumor, and so she actually went to the funeral. She couldn't walk out, so she had to be carried out because of the severe abdominal pain she was experiencing at the time. And so, look, we'll never know about the brain tumor, but kind of interesting that it coincides at the same time that she's having all these issues. But anyway, but definitely for my family member, yeah, she sat there and when we said, would you have any more vaccines? She says no. So there are a lot of people out there that maybe don't even realise that they've been affected. And for her, it was this awakening. And she knows my stance. And we've spoken many times, and she, you know, yeah, always says, oh, you know, if I ever have kids, please don't, you know, judge me. So she's been very concerned, but I would be highly surprised if she vaccinates now. And, but the movie cemented it, but she already had adverse reactions to travel vaccines that she'd had when she, anyway, so there was a little bit more to it than just that, but yeah, for me to hear her sit there and say that she was HPV vaccine damaged was, yeah, profound, like profound. And I'm so grateful that she had that epiphany, you know. And, that was the highlight for me personally, yeah, to, you know, have somebody in my family that I knew was vaccine damaged but didn't know it themselves to have that awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the crowd that we got to the events were very mixed. And what I did observe, particularly in Sydney, quite a few people come that were probably on the fence. And in fact, they actually came because of the hoo-ha the government is making about vaccines.
So they advertising.
And so, you know, thank you, Australian government, because of the bullying, the intimidation, and the headlines. And so when I spoke to them, they were actually horrified. They said, oh, you know, as soon as the headline came out, they were like, what is going on with this? So they did their own research and went, ah, hello. So they actually came to the events on that, you know, based on that. So that was really, and we had people, you know, travel, you know, 300 kilometres to get to some of these events. We we had different people Skype in at different events. The information is just profound. I mean, there is just so much information out there if people decide to do their own research, that there's no denying that vaccines are causing extreme damage, injury and harm. And the fact that the governments are ignoring that and not acknowledging, and they can blatantly sit there and say vaccines are safe and effective, you know, that's a lie. That our governments are lying to us, and they're going to roll out a vaccine that is, A, we don't even know if it even works, although they're claiming it is. But look, there was another study that came out saying that those that have been vaccinated, there actually is a higher cervical rate cancer in the, you know, like 10 years on, they have done some studies, and there's actually still, it hasn't changed the rate of cervical cancers, whether they're vaccinated or not. So there's lots of questions surrounding the HPV vaccine, and the fact that we're just rolling and adding more. I read an article just today about now giving it up to the age of 46. I just want everyone to do their own research with vaccinations, because it's criminal. And we're just trusting our doctors and our government, and they do not have our health interests at their heart. They don't care. And it's up to each individual to do their own research and to investigate. Yeah, it's just criminal. But the event was amazing, Adam. Adelaide have just contacted me, and they're talking about doing an event down there. So they did ask me to go down, and so there's a possibility on that. So that would be early December. But look, just for anybody listening, for any event around Australia, look, I'm more than happy to come. I'm not a scientist, I'm a mother. But what I do know is that once you have had the experience that I've had, with the number of people that I've spoken to, with the heartache, the pain, the crying, the desperation, the bullying that I've actually physically seen, and everything that I've experienced, I don't need the science to back up what I'm saying, because it's real. And given that I too have had, I'm damaged by the pharmaceutical industry, not once but twice, or maybe even three times, you know, that in itself is a story. Like, it's a truth. You're telling your truth, you're telling your story, and people can't deny that. So, yeah, so look, for anyone, I encourage them to speak out. We don't have to be all scientists. That's a fallacy. And when people want to talk about science, I call BS, because there is science on both sides that can prove both sides of the story. So to be honest, so, you know, for me personally, yes, science is not settled. It's questionable. If people think the science is settled, well, then they're not a true scientist, and that they're self-limiting in their beliefs and they're biased. Because if you read both sides of the story, yeah, I mean, there's bias on both sides, but you put together your own picture. It should be up to each individual to make up their own mind without the bullying, the intimidation, coercion, blackmail and bribery. And that's what's not happening, and that's why, Adam, you and I are, you know, standing up and trying to raise awareness and go, well, this should be our right to be able to choose without, yeah, with full informed consent, so.
That's right. Yeah, well, they're dishing out the venom by the bucket load. It really is, for me, a genocide in slow motion. And because it's in slow motion, people don't seem to notice so much because it is so slow. It's like being poisoned with fluoride in the drinking water for your entire life, you know. The effects are not going to be immediate. They could hit you at any stage in your life, and you're not going to be able to trace them back to what you drank or what was in the water, you know. So it really is that's what it is. It's a slow process, sort of dumbing down and killing off the population, it seems. But let's go off through a few things. But I've put up a post the other day just in regards to a billboard up there in Queensland. And I put one chunk of Gardasil information up. Look at this. It's on my website. It's all documented. Anyone can go on and see these. There's YouTube videos. It is unbelievable. All these links alone are... When you start researching Gardasil damage on young women, it's you just fall into this hole. you know. Gardasil killed my 16-year-old daughter. She died of the most excruciating, painful death. You know, girl commits suicide after Gardasil vaccine destroyed her life.
Yeah.
Infant accidentally vaccinated with Gardasil. Mother blamed vaccine injuries, blah, blah. The baby was taken. Iowa girl faces death. Life destroyed by Gardasil vaccine. Gardasil vaccine given without consent and ruins life of a 14-year-old girl. After 3 years of suffering, 19-year-old girl dies from Gardasil vaccine injuries. Gardasil, the decision you will always regret. The Gardasil vaccine afterlife. My daughter is a shadow of her former self. I want my daughter's life back, the way it was before Gardasil. Gardasil vaccine destroyed and abandoned. 15-year-old vaccinated with Gardasil now suffers from paralysis and excruciating pain. You know, Gardasil, we thought it was the right choice. A nightmare. HPV vaccine. Look what it has done to my child. 13-year-old world championship karate student forced to quit after Gardasil vaccine. What doctors don't tell you about this Gardasil horror story. U.S. families fighting the U.S. government for compensation for their injured daughters. Gardasil, when will our nightmare end?
Yeah.
HPV vaccine injuries. I cannot begin to describe what it is like to watch your own daughter live in absolute agony. Do not let your child be injected with Gardasil. The Gardasil decision that forever changed our lives. Gardasil, I should have researched first. They have robbed my child of womanhood. Local Milwaukee media covers Gardasil vaccine injuries. The Gardasil, the day our daughter's life changed forever. Gardasil, the decision I will always regret. Gardasil vaccine, one more girl dead. Gardasil, a parent's worst nightmare. Gardasil, I simply want my healthy daughter's life back. Gardasil, my family suffers with me. Gardasil changed my life and my family's life forever. Gardasil, Ashley's near-death experience. Gardasil, my daughter's worst nightmare. My personal battle after the Gardasil vaccine. Gardasil, the worst thing that has ever happened to me and my family. A ruined life after Gardasil. HPV vaccines. My journey through an absolute nightmare of Gardasil injuries. The dark side of Gardasil, a nightmare that became real. You know, I mean, do you want me to I can just sit here all night, and then we've got these politicians standing up there telling us it's safe and effective, and it's like what is this like for you? Let me ask you a couple of questions here. What is this like for you as a woman to see, to hear this and to see the lives of these young women, these beautiful young girls who have their whole lives ahead of them destroyed by this toxic venom? And what's your idea on how many kids in Australia are receiving this and have already received it? I mean, what are you seeing on the ground? It looks to me like we could be in the throes here of a quiet epidemic. Is it a quiet epidemic?
It is. It's an epidemic. We have mass vaccine damage that is just not being acknowledged. I spoke to a doctor over in Perth who said to me that no vaccine is safe. Now, he's still registered practicing doctor. Now, of course, they can't speak out. But I think if we were to be truthful about what's happening with vaccines, you would discover that, and if proper research and reporting was done, as in proper trials, as in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, I mean, we have to do lifelong studies. You can't just vaccinate and then have 28 days to have a reaction, and if it doesn't happen within 28 days, it's not a reaction. I mean, this is ludicrous to think that health issues don't manifest longer or after 28 days. We create this time in history will be looked upon as criminal and barbaric because we are doing untold damage to our children, well, to everyone that gets a vaccine. Now, it's like playing Russian roulette because no one knows how they're going to respond to that vaccine. And like I've said before, nobody knows how long it takes for symptoms and for illness to happen. So, you know, this is what we're up against. Inadequate studies. There are no long-term studies on these vaccines, and particularly not the combined. And I think we're going to find Gardasil is criminal. It is going to cause fertility and infertility issues. And I think to be and think about this, Adam, for a moment. So if you have women that have pregnancy or fertility issues, what are they going to do? They're going to go get IVF. And so you then have another medical procedure. So effectively you have to pay to have a baby. And you've got this ongoing custom for life. Now, I don't want to think like that. I would like to think that that is not the reality of how they're thinking. But I must admit, with the number of vaccines for a disease that is not really an issue, HPV clears up by itself in most cases. It is a very, very, very small percent that it may or may not cause an issue with. So, you know, we are vaccinating against something that we don't even really know if it's a real issue or not, and it clears. Now, you know, there's a scientist here in Queensland that I've spoken to that actually created a product. He worked alongside Ian Fraser that created the Gardasil vaccine, and that takes away cervical cancer anyway. So, yeah, I mean, there's other alternatives. So do you need a vaccine full of aluminium and polysorbate 80 and what was one of them? One of them had a new lipid in it as well, the Cerevax vaccine, which we don't use here in Australia. And this was what came out as part of the tour. They're using a new fat, a new lipid in the Cerevax vaccine that's never been trialled. It's never been trialled, and they're giving it to women around the world, teenagers around the world. That is criminal. That is what we can do. And then on top of that, an injection is totally different to popping a pill and having an oral, you know, an oral vaccine. So you're actually physically injecting it. So you're piercing the skin, injecting all sorts of toxins and adjuvants, which create an antigen and an immune response on purpose, because that's what vaccines are designed to do. And then, but it's not going to just create an antigen to the disease. I mean, it's not a magic injection that just creates the antigen to that disease. It's going to create antigens to everything in that vaccine. And so you've got a multitude of, your immune system is going nuts because you bypass the natural lines of defense and you've injected all this stuff, our poor immune system. So we are just damaging children left, right, and center, and my heart breaks and my heart bleeds. But all I can do, I feel, is just try and raise awareness, make people aware. If they still choose to vaccinate, then that's their decision. But what I see is going to be a problem in the future. The healthcare system is going to be unable to handle all these health issues. It's already cost Australia $181 billion from 2016 to 2017 financial year. It had just gone up like exponentially per person. Now this isn't going to decrease. This is going to increase. So the health system per person is, for the cost of Australia, is rising. It's not decreasing. So we're obviously creating an unhealthier society. So we're creating problems. And I don't understand why politicians and the government can stand up there and defend vaccination and the mass drugging of our children when we actually have epidemics of all sorts of health issues. It's disgusting. And my blood boils at all these ridiculous politicians standing up there defending something that they know nothing about. And they haven't been on the ground. They won't see people with vaccine injury. They won't come and visit. People like myself can't get a look in. I have to go to their meet and greets and, you know, stalk them, you know, in public to get information to them, because they won't listen. You know, nobody's listening. So we've got issues. We've got massive issues. So we will have an epidemic. We do have an epidemic, and this is just the beginning.
God, you got to wear a moustache. Disguise yourself. It's But yeah. As I said, it's a quiet epidemic. It's coming like a storm. People aren't recognizing it. They're not seeing it because they're being so brainwashed with this never-ending sort of compounding propaganda. It's a propaganda machine. You know, the government and the media and all these their army of trolls that they seem to have online are just continuously telling you that it isn't happening. And it's like you look at what I read out before with this Gardasil damage, and I'm watching these videos on YouTube of these people in America, these mums with these young girls, like teenage girls lying in bed crying in agony. They can't even stand up. They're living in the bodies of a 95-year-old woman. They're in absolute constant agony every single day. There's documentaries made on this. I think one came out of Holland. It's just destroying the lives of these girls. You can't get any more in your face, and they're just telling you, no, it isn't. It's not real. You're dreaming it up.
But, Adam, I think people have to start taking responsibility for their own health. Now, does it make common sense when you've got depression to pop a pill and think that that's going to make you better? Like, I don't understand how the general public can be so fooled and that they're buying this BS and they're actually listening. People have to start taking responsibility for themselves. There is no magic pill, okay? And everyone has to start going, hang on a minute, injecting a vaccine while I'm pregnant, is that a good thing for my baby? So, you know, just because somebody tells you it is, that the you know, a doctor that's paid, you know, has kickbacks from the pharmaceutical industry, that's actually trained by the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, seriously, people have to start opening their own eyes and taking responsibility. And that's my gripe at the moment, is we can blame, you know, other people, but essentially everyone has to do their own bit. Now, the mass drugging that we've got going on of society, and even antidepressants, I mean, one-third of Australians or something are on an antidepressant. I mean, seriously, like, A, who's going to why would you just pop a pill when you're depressed and think that that's going to help you? And don't you think that that's going to have side effects? And, you know, once you're on a pill, it's just this never-ending, you've got a never-ending customer for life, because you're going to have a side effect from this, this and this, which has actually been proven. So, look, I just want to say that, you know, I want everyone to awaken and to take responsibility. I want all those that are, you know, I'm going to say on our team and already aware of the issues with vaccination, to start speaking out. We are not going to, you know, make change by staying silent. If you have vaccine injury or if you know of somebody, then these people need to start speaking, okay? This isn't going to change if people don't make a change. And, you know, my job all day, every day, is to talk to mummies, you know, and to encourage them to speak up. I mean, some people won't even talk to their families. How disgusting that this has become an issue that you can't even discuss with your family, let alone anyone else. It's disgusting. The intimidation that the government have allowed to happen and the segregation and the name-calling surrounding vaccination is disgusting. And the fact that, as we've discussed, vaccinations are not safe nor effective, and the government are emitting data, and yet we still can't have this conversation. And look, but the more people that speak, the more change we're going to make, the more awareness, and hopefully the quicker we can stop the damage being done to, well, the children, the babies. You know, the damage has to stop, because we're compromising their immune systems in utero and at birth, and it's just breaking my heart. We've got a big job, Adam, and a big job to clean up in the future.
We do, and we do for sure. Let's let's finish up. I want to get your remarks on the avian vaccinated or unvaccinated billboard in Queensland there. It's caused quite a bit of controversy, indeed, to say the least. But we just had some breaking news saying that industry is backing the controversial billboard, saying that it's nothing violent, it's of a non-sexual nature, it's not threatening anybody, it's just simply asking vaccinated or vaccinated or unvaccinated, who's healthier. So really, at the end of the day, I mean, it's a simple question. No one's been threatened. It's not a big deal. It's a simple question that a lot of people want to know now, and we want to be presented with these with the data on this. I think it's very important. I mean, my little one has never seen a doctor, but Medicare did send me some mail, some notes in the mail saying that she wasn't vaccinated and that she needs to catch up and all of this, and I just throw them in the bin. But I mean, her record would be blank on there. She's never been to a doctor, and so if you compare someone who's of the same age, who's 3 years into their vaccinations and they've been to the doctor, that's going to be on the record. That's going to be stark, right there. Absolutely right there, it's going to be stuck. And anybody, any parent with unvaccinated kids know that they don't get sick much. They know that they don't take them, to the doctors. What I would ask you just quickly about that, though, would their sort of response be, well, anti-vaxxers don't see doctors even if their kids are sick. They take them to homeopaths or naturopaths. Is that something that they would say? Because I would be thinking, because I've met a lot of parents who have unvaccinated children, but when they do have the flu or they're unwell, they do take them to the doctor anyway. And also you'd be looking at things like serious stuff here, from anything from allergies, asthma, up to diseases and blood cancers and autism and all this sort of stuff. They're going to be registered in the system, aren't they, anyway? So for me, I think it's a fair thing to offer. But the sign itself, vaccinated or unvaccinated, who is healthier? I mean, what's the problem here? Why is the Queensland, Minister for Health wetting his panties here alone? What's his name? I can't find his name here, and what's his name, the health minister up there?
Oh, look, hun, I would have to have a look.
Oh, sorry, Stephen Miles. Is that right, Stephen Miles? He's appalled by the billboard. He's really wetting his panties here over it, and he's making a fool of himself, but he's also promoting the billboard to the entire world, and he doesn't understand what he's doing. And also on ABC News, because I spoke to Meryl Dory about this, they had a vote here that you could, a poll that you could vote on.
Yes,
is this free speech or fear speech? And I'm looking at it at the moment, and it says free speech votes are 34% and fear speech votes are 66%. But when you look at all the comments, there's overwhelmingly people who want freedom of speech to be maintained in this country. So I'm wondering how ABC came to that poll conclusion. It doesn't make sense to me. They just make up whatever they want.
Yeah, but even the poll itself, is it fear speech or free speech? Like, seriously, fear. Like, well, so the interesting thing about fear, and I went to a documentary on the, last week, which you commented about earlier, and there's a really, really powerful snippet in that documentary, which I'm going to cut out because it was so powerful. The government want us in constant fear. So the fact that they've even used that word is triggering, right, the fear, because constantly we're in fear of disease, we're in fear of terrorism, we're in fear of war, we're in fear of, and that is all designed to have you in constant fear.
Amazing.
So that you want the government to look after you, and so they create more laws and they get tougher and harsher, and you go, oh, that's great, they're protecting us. Even the bikies, remember the bikies law that they introduced up here in Queensland? The most ridiculous thing. And now that could be used against normal people. So you cannot have a cluster of more than, I think it was like 3 or 4 bikies or something together. And so they've used that against people just having a discussion about a political issue.
Anti-association laws.
Yeah. And I just go madness. So, but this billboard is, who cares? It's a billboard. Let it stay up. Good question. Who is healthier, vaccinated or unvaccinated? I'm going to put my money on the unvaccinated. And, in fact, I would put substantial money on that it's the unvaccinated. Look, Adam, I don't think unvaccinated kids get very sick. So I don't even think they go to a naturopath. And as an example, my daughter hasn't been to a naturopath nor a doctor, and she's 5 and a half.
This is what they're going to say, and their trolls are going to say, though. Oh, they don't even go to doctors. They go to naturopaths and everything. So
I'm quite sure they're going to make up some kind of, excuse, because that's what they're going to have to
It's still going to be very stark anyway, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, the unvaccinated by far don't have the allergies, and they're not going to have anaphylaxis because vaccines are the major trigger of anaphylaxis. So they're not going to have all those major health issues. It's just a fact. Now, what you said before about, well, we don't have a health record. So we've effectively saved the government thousands of dollars for each of our children because they have never been to a doctor.
I have.
They've never cluttered up the health system.
No.
They haven't. We, you know, I think some of the vaccines are about 150 to 300 per vaccine. So, you know, when you add that, the cost up of all the vaccines that we're saving them, the health, you know, that we haven't been to a doctor, we're actually saving the government money. So this is something that they haven't looked at as well. And they did promise a unvaccinated, vaccinated study with Meryl Dorey. Meryl may have spoken about that when you spoke to her when she did her interview on the Today Show, and the health Australian health minister or federal health minister at the time said, we are doing a vaccinated, unvaccinated study. Well, you know what, 8 years later or however long it is, we're still waiting for that study. Now, it's something that I think should be done. It needs to be done. And we will then see the truth, but we know that they're not going to do the study because they're scared of the truth. And if everyone knew that we're creating epidemics and we're creating disease and we're creating a sicker society, well, you're not going to vaccinate, are you? So they know the answer. And I guess that's why it's such a dangerous billboard, because they don't want to be exposed. They're trying to protect their vaccine religion and their, I don't know what it is, their corporate greed or their... Yeah, and
gold standard peer-reviewed studies.
Yeah,
that have never been independently verified or nothing. That amazes me. That just amazes me that they can just bring out a vaccine and just, as you know, research it themselves. Here you go, it's done, and no one else can have a look at it and offer an opinion on it. You know, and then you know, this is all you hear from these pro-vaccination cult members, you know, that they're peer-reviewed studies and it's all gold standard and it's all done and we don't need to question anymore. Just take them.
The extreme pro-vaxxers are extreme though, you know, and I believe that most people have a brain out there and that, you know, there are many people out there that just haven't thought about questioning it, and it's time that they do, because there's enough information out there. And even if you just read a vaccine insert, you can clearly see that vaccines have adverse reactions from, you know, mild to severe. So, you know, and then just the ingredients. I mean, geez, just do a quick research on the ingredients. You go, really, I want to inject formaldehyde, an embalming fluid, into my newborn baby. I mean, you know, people just have to get a bit logical about, you know, and as I said, start making choices and decisions on their own. Yeah.
It's right. I mean, but what you're talking about there, I mean, that's nothing compared to a simple sign that says who's healthier, vaccinated or unvaccinated. I mean, you know, I've said this before. What if you let young children go to slaughterhouses and see how animals are killed for meat?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what if we knew what goes into our food? What if we knew what goes into our water and our air? What if we knew what goes into these vaccines? What if we knew all this stuff because we were showing it clearly?
Yeah.
Would we want it? And it's all this smoke and mirrors all the time. Everything's hidden to protect us and to protect our children. Oh, you can't show them that. That'll scar them for life, you know? But that's what you're eating.
You know,
you need to see the truth, and the truth hurts, and it's harsh. But if if an animal is slaughtered and it dies in fear, then it dies in fear and agony, then that's what your children are eating. They're eating fear and they're eating agony, and that contributes to disease as well. And it upsets the balance of natural law. And so, you know, this is just a simple thing. I mean, it's unbelievable the controversy that this AVN billboard is. I just can't believe it. I mean, oh my goodness, there's been 38,000, they say, 0.2 votes and over 1,000 comments just on this one ABC post. I mean, it's gone all over the world. It's really astonishing, and all it says is vaccinated or unvaccinated, who's healthier? It's amazing. It's not saying it's not listing the ingredients, what you're saying. Obviously wouldn't be allowed in this country. It's amazing what you're talking about fear there. Yes, it is all about fear. And that's what they push, because fear sells. It's been very good for them, you know, and but it's crazy as well, and it's very scary that they're calling this fear speech and hate speech now, because as you said before, with the climate of fear that we're living in and terrorism and everything, they've been trying to do that for years, haven't they, for people who want freedom of speech in this country and health freedoms. They're trying to make it into like you're some type of terrorist. And that's what the media are doing, and it's been slotted in so sneakily, you know, over time, and it's a real worry. It's a real worry in this country.
I think by doing what they're doing, though, they're helping us anyway. They're awakening people because people are like, really? Who cares about suicide?
It's too desperate.
It is way too desperate. So why are they so desperate? Why can't we have a discussion on vaccines? And I think this is the thing. We are asking, you know, I'm asking logical questions all the time. And that's why I don't lose an argument, because I want to know. And I go, well, why can't we have discussion? It's stupid that we can't. It just boggles my mind. And the fact that these politicians and the health minister gets on there and, you know, says something stupid about this billboard. He looks dumb. They're dumb and stupid. It's just a question, and we do want to study. And in fact, he, if he had half a brain in his head, would be going, wow, we need to do this study, because it would prove once and for all that the unvaccinated are unhealthy. Except he knows that that's not going to happen. So they've got to go on there and just talk absolute rubbish and go off on a tangent. And they look like idiots. These people look like idiots. And I'm just hoping that the general public can see that these politicians, they should be promoting a study. Everyone, even pro-vaxxers, should want this study, because they should be proving that vaccines are healthy. And that vaccines are so bloody good that the vaccinated are healthier than unvaccinated. Don't you think, Adam? Like, everyone in Australia should be getting behind this study and supporting it and making it happen. What do you think?
That's right. I've talked about on the last few podcasts about how, you know, if products are deemed to be unsafe out there, or if someone, a child, if a toy is deemed to, that it could choke a child or anything like that, if anything seems unfit for consumption, or someone consumes a product from the supermarket and it makes them sick, you get massive product recalls. You get the health department investigating. I mean, the government seemed hell bent on wanting to protect society and our children from any kind of harm. And you look at products, anything from tools to cars, the rigorous tests they go through. You've seen the cars where they put the dummies in the seat belts and they smash them into walls to check the seat belts. And then there's, you know, I mean, if Toyota manufacture a car and they do the most rigorous testing to make sure that car's safe, the airbags, the seat belts, everything. And then it goes through all levels of different testing and industry testing, to make sure. And then you get sort of marks on whether it's unsafe or how safe the car is. And that sort of steers the consumers on what they want to buy. I mean, it really is for everything. But when you're injecting something into a child's body, wouldn't you want to know that it's absolutely proven safe from every single conceivable angle imaginable? I mean, it's being injected into your body. You're not buying a hammer or a car here, folks. Your child is being injected with something. Don't you want to know as a parent that is absolutely proven to be safe beyond a shadow of a doubt? You know what I mean? It's insane. I don't understand this. Where am I living?
This is the stupidity about particularly the extreme pro-vaxxers. They want to shut us down, and you're just sitting there going, yeah, but we're just asking some pretty logical questions, and you are dead right. Everyone should want the best possible product available. As it stands, we are using a second-grade product that is not safe nor effective, and yet people are accepting these inferior products. I just don't understand. And you know, and also why do we have all those adjuvants and toxins in them? I'm seriously, in this day and age, with the technology that we have and the so-called amazing science, shouldn't there be vaccines out there that don't have these adjuvants? I mean, really, is science really that clever if we're still going to use aluminium and formaldehyde and polysorbate and whatever else, you know? And they're not as smart as what they're making out.
Well, yeah, we mentioned this on the last podcast with Meryl about Lindsay Day, who died after getting the DTaP and flu shot, healthy 39-year-old Sydney man. And these trolls are on there saying, well, it probably wasn't the vaccine. You know, we don't know if it was the vaccine, and you can't prove it. But even if it was, you know, thousands and thousands of these people die every year from the flu, and that could have been prevented by a flu shot, or thousands and thousands of people were protected from getting the flu virus because they had the flu shot, but they don't show any data or any proof of any of this whatsoever. And I've challenged them on Facebook and they won't answer me. You're telling me this guy lives 39, nearly 40 years of his life, completely fit. His family said he's perfectly healthy and fit, and then he just drops dead. I mean, he gets the worst flu of his life. He has a seizure and he dies 2 days. I mean, after getting vaccinated with a flu vaccine, right? And it's like, it's probably not that. Well, what is it? I mean. You know,
absolutely. What is it?
How does a human being just die? I mean, if he didn't get vaccinated, then you would have to look at other things. Did he eat something? Did he have food poisoning? Did he get bitten by a spider? Was he in his shed working and he inhaled some chemicals? You have to go through every single level of how this person. People don't just die after living on this planet for 39 years. You know, and they're telling you, "Oh, it probably wasn't the vaccine." Yes, he was 39 years old. He went in for a flu shot and he died 2 days after. So it really is the flu shot, for God's sakes. So they got selective memory on this.
The desperation. So on one hand, because I get that all the time. Oh, yeah, that's anecdotal. That's anecdotal. That's anecdotal. And I sit there and go, but all your stuff is anecdotal as well. So we're living in this, and this is the stupidity of the arguments with vaccines. And so because there are so many questions on both sides, it should be a choice. Yeah?
That's right, because you're banging your head against the wall otherwise.
That's right.
I don't want to bother arguing with them because there's no use. You'd be on there all night. You'd be on there for months arguing with the people because what they do best is deflect. They're always deflecting away, and so there's no use worrying about any of this. What there needs to be is a choice. That's as you said. It's simple.
Hey, Adam, I've got to tell you a little funny story. On my Alone a Fit Parent Network page, I did a post about how I met this mother who is now choosing not to vaccinate, but she made all her family get the DTaP vaccine, and she kind of had a bit of a chuckle after she'd said it. And so I said to her, I said, oh, how would you feel if they had have been like Ben Hammond and been fully disabled and or died or, you know, disabled? And anyway, I posted this on my Line of Fit to Parent Network. Man, I got crucified. They came in droves, called me lots of names, and then I'm sitting there going, wow, hang on a minute. Now, when a baby dies of whooping cough, they go, oh, yeah, but if they had been vaccinated, they would have saved their life. It's anecdotal. It's fairyland. It's magic puff material. They're making up a story, right? So here I was doing the reverse, but from an, I guess, in exclamation, anti-vax mode, and I was simply asking this woman how she would have felt if, you know, something had happened to her family because she coerced them into getting the DTaP vaccine, you know, to see the baby. Wow, I couldn't believe. I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning having to, you know, shut down these trolls. It was just crazy. And yet when the shoe is on the other foot, it's okay. And they can call us names, irresponsible bullies, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as you twist, you know, you question them, it's where you know, bullies, where all these names, and I couldn't believe it. It was really interesting to observe that it's okay, that's okay. You know, and yet they can make up stories about what they believe would or could have happened, and that's okay.
I guess when you're looking at trolls who are protecting pharmaceutical interests, for example, we would see Australia as their nest. Really, yeah. This is where they're nesting, and the ones that are in Australia, the ones that are here, like Savin and Reasonable Hank, and these people, they're domestic terrorists. That's what they are, and they all need to be shut down, and they need to be arrested and put on trial. And I think some of them need to actually go to prison, as well as their buddies in the media, as well. But I think a lot of them also create multiple profiles as well. But I think a lot of it's coming from overseas as well. I think it's highly organized. They're troll hate groups, and I think a big chunk of it is actually funded by the pharmaceutical industry itself to protect itself, as it would only. I mean, of course, this kind of evil needs to protect itself and make sure it keeps progressing forward. But it seems to be where we seem to have the den of these rats here in this country. It seems worse here than any other country in the world. And I think the pharmaceutical industries have such a stranglehold in this country and on our government. You know, that's why they're here. And we really need to get together, and we need to stop this. Otherwise, it's going to get out of control. It's going to get worse. We need to push all of this out of this country. Enough's enough. It's insane. It really is. You know, I really just have had enough of it, honestly. As a viewer, I think you're wasting your time really bothering with them. I noticed on the AVN page over there when they put up that billboard, I went on there just to get the video and post it onto my website, and then I started looking at the comments, and it was all these trolls on there trying to dominate over there. And Meryl Dory told me on the show and before the interview, she's blocked hundreds of them. You know, from that page. And they just, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing to see. They're just spineless cowards, really. Not even that. I mean, because they lie about who they are, they lie about their names, they lie about where they are, they lie about their profile pictures, they don't even want anybody to hear their voice, they lie about absolutely everything. But then they expect Australian families to take them seriously and go and vaccinate their kids based on what they say when they lie about absolutely everything. Yeah. I mean, you and me are talking right here, right now. You can see my picture up there. I can see you going around the country doing all this stuff, but these people are liars because they don't have any heart, they don't have any soul, they don't have any spine, and they're too gutless to come out and say, look, this is who I am. I believe children should be vaccinated because of this and that reason, and that's why I'm going to back myself up and say that. Yeah, no, they're not even two-faced. They're quadruple-faced. They're faces within faces within faces within faces within faces, and they even lie about that. They're lying liars who lie about lying.
It's just stupid. It's so stupid. Like, as you say,
and you're going to take medical advice from them?
Yeah, no.
That could kill your child?
Oh, please.
Yeah, I mean, a vaccine could kill your child, like Lindsay Day. This is not a joke. I'm not saying it's going to happen to anyone. I'm just saying, as you said, it's Russian roulette. You don't know how Lindsay Day's case proves that these vaccines are not safe and they're not effective, and you don't know what's going to happen. No one knows how the human body and immune system is going to react to being injected with poisons. You just don't know where it's going to go. It's like a room of broken mirrors alone. And anything could happen. You just don't know. It's so complicated. Because this is not a natural thing. This is unnatural. It is against natural law. It is against human life. Injecting these poisons into the human system into that person's body, right into the deep, 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 you know, deeply into that human body. You just don't know. Someone could be okay. Someone could have a flu. Someone could have a little bit of a seizure. Someone could react violently. Someone could die. You just don't know what's going to happen. And that proves it. It really does. Yeah. Such a, you know, and so people really need a choice here, as you said. They really, really do.
Yeah. So the billboard looked great. It's given us a little bit more mileage. The government looks stupid. If the general public want it removed, that's just silly because it's, you know, erosion of freedom of choice, which eventually at some given time those laws are going to be used against them. I mean, people have to awaken that, you know, already we're overregulated and we need to stop the overregulation. We need to come back to, you know, a compassionate society full of love and, you know, get off this nasty wheel that we're on, this unsustainable, nasty wheel. So, you know, my mission is to raise awareness, is to make change in society and to create alternatives because the system is broken and I don't want to support it. So, and I think if we all thought like that, we could just build this really, really beautiful life and a beautiful community and just have this compassion, you know, and love for one another, which is where it should be.
In Australia, I love my country more than anyone, you know, and we're in a such a great position to do that, aren't we? To raise healthier children, to have healthier attitudes, to have healthier families, healthier births, you know, as you said, you know, sustainable living, organic foods, produce, clean water, clean air, clean environment, all of this stuff that we can do in this country because we have a low population, we have such a great country and we can do anything we want here. It's all there for us, you know. But we have these spineless politicians who are selling us down the river, you know, and they just don't seem to care. I put an article up on Stirling Hinchcliffe and his little creepy buddy, Bart Mellish, MP, who want to suppress freedom of speech in this country. It was a great article and they want the billboard taken down. And Stirling Hinchcliffe is up there telling us that Gardasil's safe and he doesn't give a shit. He's got his hands in his pockets and his head's down and he's just going, yeah, it's good, you know, take the sign down, anti-vaxxers and that. And I just can't believe that in 2018 I'm seeing politicians in Australia, in my land, talking like this and acting like that and acting in such a negative way and not doing any kind of research into this matter and not having any kind of heart or emotion in anything they're saying. They're just zealots. They're just robots for a system that they themselves don't even understand. They don't even understand it. They're just like parrots, repeat, you know. And that's not a politician that's for the people. That's just a, that's just something we don't need in this country anymore. And I think I'm just tired of it, as many are and you are. And even Pauline Hanson and One Nation have said, I think they're going around the country and talking to people and people just seem sick of these general political spectrum, you know, Liberal and Labor, they're just sick of their attitude and sick of the whole thing. I think everyone's had enough and we need a fresh change in this country, especially politically, to do what you're saying. So let's hope. What do we do? Yeah. We keep going and moving forward and keep spreading the word. I don't know what else to do.
Look, I said today I would like 1 million followers, so Instagram and Facebook, and I think that's where you're going to have a pull if you can have voices that have, you know, this massive following, and we all need to get to start supporting each other, following each other, and use social media for the tool that it is. And start really, then you can start putting pressure on, like here on the Sunshine Coast, you know, when I talk to the politicians, I say, well, I'm representing 1,000 families and I haven't even tapped into the whole population yet. So when we can start saying these numbers, and there are so many of us out there that want change, we want freedom of choice, we want, you know, an alternative lifestyle or a different lifestyle to what we're living. If we all got together, you know, we can make this change. So, but it's about supporting everyone and making it happen. So that's my message for today. And my message is Vaccine Injury Awareness Month is this month. And like I said, it's really important that people start talking and people start sharing their stories. And if you want me to interview or if you want to do a Facebook Live, I'm open to that because sometimes that helps. And I know through the tour, a lot of people came up and spoke on stage and I would stand beside them, do you know what I mean, and help them if they needed, that sort of thing. So I'm happy to support people that want to come out and speak out, and it would be nice to see more step up. So, yeah, if we could all support one another and like your page, support you, Adam, that's amazing. Support me, Meryl Dory, AVN, Visa, Judy Wildman, Elizabeth Hart. We've got amazing people. So let's just start supporting all these amazing people.
I think a change is coming. I'm staying positive here, and I think that there has to be a back down. Yeah. I really do. I've been looking at this since 2013 in particular pretty strongly, and I feel there has to be a back down. Before we go, do you think that the government can continue to hold this poker face for long? I mean, do you think it's going to get so overwhelming that they're going to have to be forced to make a change and answer here? I mean, how long can they maintain this?
No, they're coming down, Adam. It's all good. The cracks are showing. It's only a matter of time.
Very, very good. Yeah, I feel the same way as well. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we just keep going. Any last words of contact? Anyone can contact you, email you, or I would say here just for a lot of listeners, maybe not they don't even go on to Facebook, and so they're very interested in keeping up with you and what we're doing here. So their only method of listening would be maybe this podcast. So which is really good. It means that, you know, you're getting out to people who may not like to be on social media or may just like to listen and download a podcast, for example. So they could be in anywhere in the world. This podcast goes all over the world. So, how could they contact you personally and or contact you as well, website or social media?
Yeah, look, I do have a website, which I actually need to do some work on. It's Alona, Alona. .com.au, and you can email me at Alona, so Alona at Alona.com.au. Yeah, and happy to get information. I also recommend if for those even in other countries, sign up to the AVN website, which is avn.org.au, because that will keep you up to date with what's happening in Australia. And look, although I'm not a part of the AVN, I fully support what they're doing, and I work with them on projects. So, yeah, I think that's another really good way to keep informed. But definitely, if people are on Facebook or Instagram, you know, you can look me up, Alona Lahn, so Alona Lahn, Lahn, and I do have a Facebook page as well, Alona Fit to Parent Network, which was set up because we were told that we weren't fit to parent. So I went, yeah, we are, in more ways than one. So yeah, if people want to follow me, I would love it. So thanks, Adam. Thanks for your time and for what you do. It's awesome.
Very good. Thank you very much. Man, I love talking to women like you. It's fantastic to see in this country such awake and aware women and mums who are going out there and fighting the good fight. It's really fantastic. I absolutely love it. So Godspeed. Continue to just keep going. Keep doing what you're doing, because whatever you're doing is working. I'm here in Australia as well, and I can see how many people follow you and how popular your posts are and what you're doing. I mean, everyone wants to know about it. So keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. No, thank you. And God bless you too. And together we'll make change. So, okay. Thank you.
All right. I will put this up soon and send it through to you to share, and we will keep in touch and catch up again another time to cover the latest. Thanks very much.
Okay. Beautiful.